Well, we are going to begin a new study on the book of 1 Peter. I'm going to call it Set Apart, that we're set apart for Christ, for His glory, and for His honor. I was excited to dig into a book together and really study it hard. And so I want to invite you over the next several weeks. I'd encourage you from time to time to dig in and read 1 Peter. And make that kind of a part of your devotional life to check in on 1 Peter every once in a while. So I hope you guys would do that. If you're looking for 1 Peter in your pew Bible, it is page 857. I think that's right. And so go ahead, and if you don't have a Bible with you, I'd pull out 1 Peter. It's on page 857, and the pew Bible's provided for you. Before we get into the text, I kind of want to introduce the book to you. I came across a good illustration. I was spending time with somebody this week. They were telling me about needing to get a different vehicle because the vehicle they had, you know, when I get a new vehicle, it's because there's something wrong with it, like the transmission. But my friend, he said, I had to get out of this thing because I was getting too comfortable in it. When you buy yourself a new car, apparently they have these new features like Bluetooth and it gets even fancier beyond that. You know, the seat warmers, the seat coolers, if you're like starting to fall asleep and they sense that you're veering off, it starts making noises at you and that like corrects you going down the path. Like, you spend too much time in that fancy of a car, and I think it just you start losing your driving ability. You get a little too comfortable. And he said, I had to get out of that thing. It was ruining my driving skills. And so he got out of it and got himself a good old-fashioned pickup truck. And he's avoiding the fancy car. And so I thought that was a great illustration of what we sometimes need as Christians. And 1 Peter stands as a book that sort of gives us the reminder that we've gotten a little too cozy. And it reminds us of our true identity in Christ. When we think about the Christian walk that we've been on, the reason why I opened this morning with a scripture reading about the cost of following Jesus is I think sometimes the Christianity that we tell everybody about is one that, or at least the popular notion about Christianity is that this whole thing is really easy. And we get ourselves really comfortable. And so the God that often gets promoted from churches is that God is in the business of taking away all of your problems. You have some debt, well, God wants to wipe it clean. And there's no more problems with your finances if you just trust in God and say the right prayer. And it seems like God becomes a sort of holy vending machine that wants to dish out all of the helps for you so that your life is no longer problematic. And I just have not necessarily a huge problem with all of that. I think that God does help us in our situations, and God does give us the strength, and God does. But that is not really how the book of 1 Peter addresses problems. Peter is writing, and this is the same Peter that was the apostle that followed Jesus. It's the same guy who walked on water and then he sank a little bit. It's the same guy who was standing in the temple courts when Jesus was being set to be crucified and he was on trial. And it's the same guy who denied Jesus three times and was restored. It's the same guy that said, who do people say I am? And he went through it, and they're like, well, some say Elijah, some say a great prophet. And he says, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the hope of the world. And Jesus is like, dude, you got it so right. And I'm going to build the church on this promise. And then moments later, Peter's getting rebuked and being called Satan, like literally the next verses. It's the same guy. It's this apostle who's written a letter to the churches. And this letter is being written to a group of people, a group of churches. It was one that would have spread and would have gone to a lot of different places. And it was not a call to get these people out of the mess they were in. It was a call to give them the strength to endure and stay faithful to Christ. And so this morning, I want to use 1 Peter just as a reminder about our identity and our situation. Because if you are like me, sometimes it feels like my Christian faith is sort of on cruise control. and I'm just going down the path in a very comfortable way, and I'm not really thinking about what it means to follow Jesus. That sometimes we get kind of our blinders on, and we've been on the road for a while, and we're forgetting to pay attention to our faith. Pay attention to what God is doing in our lives and doing around us. And maybe there is tension in our walk with Jesus. Maybe there is a question about our faith. Maybe there is something going on in our surroundings that has us wondering, why am I a Christian? Why am I going through what I'm going through? And I think that 1 Peter provides us the encouragement, the strength, and help that we need to remember who we are in Christ. Peter's not going to solve people's problems. He's going to give us the strength and identity that we need to get through it. And so this message and the following messages, I think, are going to be reminding us about how we belong to Christ and our identity is in Him. I spent the summer talking about the seven deadly sins, and I'll be honest, I regret doing it because it pointed out an awful lot of things that I need to work on personally. And it's like, oh man, there's a lot of work to do here. And I know from the response of a lot of you is that it was challenging. And so facing our challenges, we can either say, well, I'm not going to do anything about it, or I can take these initiatives and the way the Spirit's working in our lives and say, you know what, there is some real work that I need to do on my pride and to humble myself before Christ. There's some real work that I need to do to grow in my relationship with God and not just take the slothful approach that resists what God is doing in our lives and say, you know what, I want to continue to grow up in Jesus. None of us are a finished product in that endeavor. And I want for this series to be something that kind of says, you know, I've been driving the luxury vehicle down the road and I need to remind myself what it means to follow Jesus and sort of jar me loose of this sort of empty religion of routine. And I want God to shake me loose of this, and I want a genuine faith to walk with Jesus and trust in Him. So this series, my prayer is that we would find a genuine faith that trusts in Jesus and that we would walk faithfully with Him. Let's pray for God for that hopefully worthwhile endeavor. God, we love You, and I thank You for Your Son, and I thank You for the salvation that we have in Him. And God, we don't want to stay the same. We want to continue to walk faithfully with You and grow up in You to be more like Your Son Christ in this world, to strengthen Your church here in Etna Green, that we would walk faithfully with You in everything we do. God, shake us loose of empty religion and routine. Shake us loose of an empty relationship with You. God, that we would find our true identity in the midst of suffering, in the midst of struggle. Help us not to doubt in You and be skeptical of You, but to trust in You and walk with You, to find a deepened relationship with You for whatever is happening in our lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our relationship with people at work, and however we're navigating. God, that through this we would find help and strength in You and our identity in Your Son, Jesus. We love You, Lord. Please help us to find a deeper faith through the study of Your Word. We love You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're right there at the beginning of 1 Peter, and we're just going to cover a little bit this morning. It's 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. There are some earth-shattering, groundbreaking things right there in those opening verses. And I know you're thinking, boy, I don't know what Jordan is doing with just three verses, but there are literally thousands of books and pages written about just simply this passage and all of the stuff that's going on with it. And it's remarkable, and it's all sort of hidden and tucked away in there, but it's remarkable what happens. Peter is writing a letter to exiles, to those scattered in this region, and it's those names, Asia, Bithynia. They're talking about churches that are spread around modern day Turkey. So go ahead and check out Turkey later, and you'll get these churches were spread out there. And Peter is writing a letter, and he calls them to, he says, to God's elect, to God's chosen people who have been scattered, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Asia. When I think about driving down the road and I'm in my luxury car and I need to be shaken loose of my identity, you know, this sort of comfortable faith, Peter is writing a letter not just to the churches in northern Turkey, he's writing a letter to God's people in the United States of America. He's reminding us of our identity. Peter could have said to the homeless people who have been chosen by God, we have a tendency to forget. We have a tendency to find ourselves so comfortable and finding ourselves so at home in the world that we forget that this isn't our home. And while Peter is writing to a group of people, they had homes and they were living in the in those provinces and they were functioning, and Peter is reminding them, you guys are scattered, you guys are exiles. Some have called them resident aliens. You're living there, but you don't belong. And I think that sometimes as a Christian, I need to be reminded that sometimes I settle in just a little bit too much, and I forget that this is not my home. That I belong to Christ, and I've been chosen, and I've been scattered. And for the churches in the first century world, it was probably a little more prevalent, the persecution and the realization that they didn't belong. There would be skeptical neighbors who would look at them and look at their faith and they'd say, well, why aren't you worshiping the same Roman gods that we're worshiping? And then when there was conflict and problems, when there was a drought, they would look at the Christians and say, well, you haven't been praying to the God of rain, and we're going to blame you. And there would be all sorts of tensions and problems. And there would be stern reminders in the life of a first century Christian in the Roman world and the Roman Empire that they didn't belong. And I think that sometimes we just sort of put up our blinders and we forget that we don't belong here either. We love Jesus Christ. And sometimes we sort of absorb everything and we just kind of become what is the distinctive marker of what it means to be a Christian in the 21st century world following Jesus. What does it look like? And so this is just a reminder, sort of break loose the shackles of comfortable religion that doesn't upset anybody. It just lets us sort of navigate and just go down the road and not bother anybody. And Peter says to you guys, to God's elect, chosen, to you scattered throughout the world, he not only wrote that to the first century churches in the northern or in Turkey, he's written it to us to say, you, Christians, are scattered in God's world. You are resident aliens, and you don't belong where you found yourselves, but you are homeless, but you are chosen, and you are blessed by God. And what follows is one of the more succinct passages where we have the Trinity at work. People, if you ever talk to a Jehovah's Witness, they will talk to you about the Trinity not being a biblical term, and they are sort of correct. But they just need to know how to read a Bible. And this passage right here, while it doesn't use the word Trinity, we have all three components of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all three are at work in our identity. The way we shake the shackles free of an empty religion and reminding ourselves that we belong, that we don't belong in this world, but we are set apart and chosen by God, the way forward to empty ourselves, to set ourselves free from an empty religion, is to have a high, lofty view of who our God is and what he's doing. And what we have is a healthy view of the Trinity at work in our lives. God the Father, who has chosen us from the foreknowledge. It says, who have been chosen, all of us have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. There's been a lot of passages written just about this one verse, about the word foreknowledge and what God is up to. And I could have a little lecture with you about Calvinism and Arminianism. Who's up for it? Nobody. Okay. Well, Charlotte. Well, Charlotte and I, we can talk about it later. But the tension is what is God up to? And there is, a ton of different views about what God is doing. And all I want to simply say is a passage like this, where it says, God the Father, through his foreknowledge, has chosen us. Let's just read it at sort of face value and not try and make too much of it. God has been at work to redeem and save his creation from the very beginning. God has an intention for his people, for all of creation, to have a relationship with him. He wants to solve the problem of a broken and sinful world, and God has had a plan, and he's known all about it. And guess what? You have been chosen to be a part of that plan. You are loved, you are treasured, and God has sought to redeem and save his world through his Son and to bring about people who follow after Jesus Christ. You have been chosen to be a part of that. Whether or not you had the free will to do that, which I think is where I lean, or if it was already predetermined for you, which is not where I lean, doesn't really matter to me, because what the text shows is that God has been in the business, and he's known for a very long time that he was going to redeem and save his world, and he was going to choose a people like you and me to be a part of it. You are a part of God's plan to reconcile the world back to God, to be his witnesses, to bear testimony of the love of Christ, to talk about his transformation in your life and what he's doing and how he softened your heart and how your life is different because there's a God who loves you and has shaped you and redeemed you. And though you are a sinner, you've been saved by grace through Jesus Christ. This is your story that you've been chosen to tell and be a part of, and God has known that for a long time. We shake the shackles free of an empty religion when we fall on our knees before a loving God who has chosen us despite our failures. This is your story and what you're a part of. And it says then that we have been consecrated or sanctified through the work of the Holy Spirit. The God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, another part of the Trinity. And this passage right here is one of those things where we read it personally, and we think, God, sanctify me through the Spirit, and I think there's that component, that God is at work sanctifying all of us, making us and setting us apart. The word sanctifying simply means to dedicate towards the work of something. And what the Spirit is doing is we are dedicating. He's dedicating all of us to the work of God. I always think of mom's special dishes in the china cabinet that will only come out because they've been dedicated for when the president comes over to the house to eat dinner. They've been dedicated and set aside for a specific purpose. And my life and your life, the Spirit is at work dedicating us and our lives towards the purpose of God. And this is the interesting thing to me in my studies this week, and John Mark Hicks points this out, and I never thought of it before. But if we are these scattered people, if we are these resident aliens, that where the Church of God has begun to occupy all of these different places, all around the world, God is doing something through his Spirit that wherever we are, the space and place is dedicated for the purposes of God. That wherever we end up and whatever we do in our lives, wherever you go beyond here this week, the Spirit of God is at work in your life to dedicate the space and place that you occupy for the work of and glory of God through the power of Christ. Wherever you go and whatever you do in the Spirit of God, it is dedicating the space and place to the glory and worship of Jesus Christ. I think that is awesome. You have the God, creator of everything, at work in your life to dedicate your life and set it aside for the purposes of God through Christ. That's who you are in Jesus. That's the power you have in him. And then finally, it says that we have been set aside for obedience to Christ through the sprinkling of his blood. that all of this would be that we would walk in obedience and faithfulness to Christ. That you've been cleansed and you've been forgiven, that you can have a walk with God, that you can have a relationship with Him. And He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. You, scattered aliens, exiles in this world, a place where you don't fit and you don't belong. Peter's going to spend the rest of his time talking to you about being an exile in the world. And he's never going to say, here's how you solve the exile problem. Here's how you make yourself fit in and not have any persecution or any problems. Peter doesn't do anything to solve the problems that seems like what we want God to fix. But what he does is he gives us a renewed hope and energy and encouragement in our identity in Jesus Christ. That we are children of God, chosen and loved. That we are part of God's plan and His Spirit is at work in our lives and we have forgiveness and love and we can dedicate ourselves to Jesus Christ and being obedient to Him. He's not going to change. He doesn't tell us strategies for fixing our heartache and our problems. He gives us an encouragement to be faithful and obedient no matter what the pressures are. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what hurt, no matter where you're at in your relationship with God, there are things in this text and this word written to the churches long ago and to the church today that says, though you are scattered, you are given hope. Though you feel like you don't have a place here, there is a hope of heaven and God making all things new, and it's for you. And so this text will present to us the opportunity to remind ourselves that we are a signpost of heaven. We get to guide people to the hope of Jesus Christ. That no matter what we're going through and no matter what our suffering may be, it's an opportunity to point people to Jesus, our Lord and our King. You have God the Father who's chosen you. You have God the Spirit who is at work in you. You have God the Son who has saved you and redeemed you. He loves you. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the hope of salvation that we have that comes from Jesus Christ and Him alone. God, that you have redeemed and saved us, your people. We thank you for the reminder that this is not where we belong, but where you have placed us. And with that, we have a purpose to dedicate this space and place to your glory and to your honor. May we always remember the hope of heaven, not find ourselves so comfortable here that we forget that we don't belong here. We are a new creation and we hope for a new heaven and a new earth where pain and suffering and hurt are all gone and you do that work, God. But in the here and now, give us the strength to press forward. To press forward in our identity as chosen, beloved children of you. Give us strength as a church to love you and seek you with all of our hearts. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Will you stand in response for this?